Blog Talk Radio.
All right, doctors, you guys are joining me here at HNLC Studios. This is back at my BTR station. For those of you who want to call into the station to be a part of the program this morning, you're more welcome to do so. We're going to come out of the book of Ezekiel. We're going to talk about not just what the Word of God had came to Ezekiel concerning what he had saw in the valley, but even as we walk through our lives, we talk about the process of Psalms 23, we go through the shadows of the valley of death, there's a lot of things we're going to see that's not quite feeling and livable in the eyesight of God. But we're going to declare the Word of God. We're going to really mix this up in such a way we're going to hear a revelation of the Word from the kingdom of God. And for those who want to call into the studio can do so. The area code to call in is area code 929-477-1191. It'll get you right on the air with me. If there's a question you have, you want to speak to us about, you know, you can do that. We just want you to kind of, you know, be prompt about the time we have here on the station. It's only a 30-minute show, and we have quite a few people calling in and being a part of the show. It's always a blessing for you guys to be with us here at HNLC. And Father God, we thank you and bless you and honor you for this opportunity, this moment here at Axie HNLC Studios, as we get ourselves in position to hear what you have to say concerning this word that's coming out of the book of Ezekiel 37. Lord, give us wisdom and knowledge. As we anoint our head with oil, and declare the representation of the blood to be all of our life. As we speak not ourselves, but we be that conduit for you, Father God, in this season that we go forth, we may clearly understand and have a very vivid revelation of what you're speaking concerning some of what you're doing through us here at HNLC Studios, as well as the other ministries that's doing great work for the kingdom of God as well. And we're going to tap right into the word here. We're going to look at the word of God. And it talks about over here in the book of Ezekiel, turn your Bible to Ezekiel 37. And we're going to look at the King James Version. We're also going to look at the Amplified AMPC. I get a lot of clarity out of the AMPC, also the CMB. Really, out of the early translation, it's just a lot of good information. If you read through it, depends on what the study is coming from. It really coincides with what particular Bible or you're going to come out of, because it makes a whole lot of. This is why you just got to study and, you know, get a good understanding. Let people see what you see and let God use you to show you what he wants to show the people. Well, the Word of God says over here in the book of Ezekiel 37, in this particular first verse, he said, "Hand of the Lord is upon me and he carried me, you know, out of in the spirit." Now, this is amazing. You know, almost like Paul's revelation. Paul said, "I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body, but wherever it was, I went to a place that I was made to utter that what God has shown me." So now when God gives you an out-of-body experience, you know, I had some of these situations that take place in my life before, and I don't know where I was. And I came back to it. I'm telling you, man, when God, I had no idea what happened, but I did see it, but I couldn't explain it because it's almost about wiped, you know, from the information that I had concerning that particular epiphany. It was a day vision, you know, and it just kind of, you know, put me in a sleep. And I don't know what happened. Just off in the turn, I was sitting off and I just, sitting out there for hours, but, and it wasn't hours, it was just a few minutes. And God took me in a vision, showed me some things concerning some of the futuristic things that happened in my life, as well as, you know, some of the things he has in store for me to do with the kingdom of God. But in the book of Ezekiel 37, it said, "Hand the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down, and he set me in the midst of a valley which is full of dry bones." And I look at that, and I look at it also not really from the Amplified AMPC. It said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones." It didn't specifically tell you what type of bones. But as it rolled down in this particular area of the 37:2, and it caused me to pass around about and among them. And behold, there were very many. Look at human bones. And this is there. And he opened the valley, and he opened the eye, or plain. And behold, they were very dry. No, she's let Ezekiel get a good examination on a dead situation. You know, we don't have to go through any kind of textual breakdowns or this is a common sense thing right here. If something's dead, it's dead. But when it's really dead, you see the bones of its death. There's no flesh or any kind of remains of anything, or sinew or anything on it. Something's dead to a carcass point of view, and there's nothing to pick off but with the ants and ate all they could eat off of it. And I'm telling you, whatever else ate off of it, it's unedible no more. No, it's just left in the plains, just to be seen. Now, that's a pretty bad situation there when you see something like that. But God is revealing, excuse me, unto Ezekiel, that this is such a bad situation, but I want you to understand the possibility of what can happen in a dead situation. Somebody help me. I really want you to see how the situation you're in sometime in your life is so dry and so just dilapidated, and you don't know how you're going to come out of your situation. But God is a God that makes a way out of no way. He shows Ezekiel something of what we call a revelation of the impossibility. You know, you talk about Jeremiah 32 and 17. First, he said, there's anything too hard for God to do. He, matter of fact, he looks at Jeremiah 32 and 17 and said, well, my stretched out arms, I created, you know, I'm the creator of all the heavens and the earth. Is there anything too hard for me to do? You look at Jeremiah 32 and 27, he talks about the sinew, the flesh, and how sometimes the situation can be so bad from an optical point of view that it has no livability in it. But how many people know when God gets involved, when he comes a part of the equation, what looks dead? He's a promotion God. He's a illuminating God. Whatever seems to be dead in the eyesight of God, in the eyesight of people, to who you are, what situation, God wants to show them how dead your situation is and who you trust in. You trust in. I don't want to get into the part about how, you know, we look at the service that we were doing in the series over in Joshua, dealing with Jericho, and how when they first went into Jericho to spy out the land, they came across a woman that was unfittable, but she was in flesh. But her reputation was known as being a woman who lived on the wall, a woman of harlotry who sold her body to make way for her children, possibly her whole family. But we look at this situation also, God brings a situation in the eyes of Ezekiel even deeper than that. I'm going to show you something that's so dead that don't look like it can move or get up. It's just going to be plain dilapidated, not even dilapidated, because it can't flap. There's no meat or nothing on it. But the word of God declared over in the book of Ezekiel, you look at this third particular verse. It says, he said unto me, now this is what God said unto you in your situation. Don't you put yourself in these situations and understand how God says how. You know, he's a God to make a way out of no way. And that's what he tells Ezekiel in this particular area of scripture. He said unto him, son of man. First, he claims that who he is. Now, you are the son of man. You know, he talks about son of man. Can these bones live? That's really a, you know, or I don't know if it's an oratorical question, but it's because Ezekiel, being a man of faith, he knows that God is a God of the impossibility. And when we serve a God, nothing should be dead or impossible for God to do. In the book of Mark 9:23, just not in Mark 9:23, but the possibility that God gave you, that they may be speak and declare and call things that be not what they were, knowing through God that anything and all things are possible, at least to believe. Mark 9:23 tells us, you know, if I could just believe the man who had the demonic son, and it seemed impossible when Jesus was on that Mount Transfiguration, to come off the Mount Transfiguration, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, whatever tribe they was from, that Sanhedrin group, they were discussing things, why his disciples couldn't do this particular work. But Jesus really kind of looked at his disciples, you know, should have just slapped all of them and straightened them all up here. He called them an unperverse generation of people. How long would I bear with you unbelieving? And Jesus began to command the word, being the representation of the kingdom here on earth, to show whatever demonic spirit is him. When it's in the right hands, and that's when the word of God says, with no weapon, when your faith is in the right place, that's when you can denounce the word of God to the point that not denouncing God's word, but denounce the word of, that the devil brought against you in terms of what the word of God says in Isaiah 54 and 16. He talks about, you know, the weapons, you know, that were designed and engineered to get you. I created the blacksmith, the one who designed the weapons. Now, the devil is the one who comes with John 10:10. That's the one you deny, not God's word, but that's who you deny. The John 10:10, because it comes back even in that particular scripture, John 10:10, he said, but then again, I have came to give you life. The first part of John 10:10 says that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, he made his point of what he's supposed to do. But then Christ always come back with a re-up. And he came back in the position of that area of the book of John 10:10. He said, but I have came that you may have life and have the life more abundantly. You go back to the book of Isaiah, you look at Isaiah 16, he talks about the Isaiah chapter 54, and that 16 and 17, he makes a very strong statement in that era. So he says over in 54 and 16 that I created the blacksmith who designed the weapon. That's what he's saying. The same thing he said in John 10:10. He re-up, he counted the devil. I'm a up on you. But he said over there in the book of Isaiah 54 and 17, he said, but there's no weapon formed against you. You go back over here and you look at the word in the book of Ezekiel, and if you can measure and get your mind to that point, and how some people say hide don't coincide because they keep looking at education rather than the revelation. They keep looking at how men wrote it and how men put it for them to be able to be designed the way they wanted them to say it. But God gives you a whole different illumination through the Spirit. This is why they looked upon Jesus and couldn't understand who he was and how he came with such significant words when he spoke in parables. See, but see, John, not just John, but Paul speaks that very same thing. When you take your Bible, you look over the book of Corinthians. You just go to 1 Corinthians, and I don't want to be with you too long because we want to pray up in here. We want to loose the power of God in the lives of individuals. When we go over the book of Corinthians, you look at 1 Corinthians, and you go down there and you look at that second chapter, Paul makes some astonishing information about how man has declared that he knows his own way, but there's things God gave that ain't in no book. Look at it. It ain't wrote down in these little categories. You see these subtitles under the scripture. Because God said, for it has already been written, the eyes have not seen, the ears have not heard. You got to help me on this. You got to see this. That it has not even entered in the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for them to love him. Now, when you understand that particular area of scripture, the only thing you're going to, the only way you're going to see in the spirit is not because you already prescripted somewhere. It's going to be that God's got to take you into the area and show you things that you've never known, seen, or heard before in your life. You know, I can't go build a book. It's okay for you to read what man wrote. But God wants to give you something fresh that man has never known, heard, or seen before. Man popularity, the books they write, and they feel they're a little bit better than everybody else in these categories. But God is simply saying right here, there's something I have in store for you that ain't even in no man's category. It ain't even in the mind of a man. Because he really looks at 1 Corinthians in that second chapter, that 10th verse. He said, but it has been revealed through the Spirit. Now, you can't prescript the Holy Ghost. It comes from a presence that when you're there with God, and God gives you that very ability to discern the things that is going on in your life and the things he has to come to you. And this is why he spoke to Ezekiel. You know, can these bones live? Can a dead situation in your life live based on what man says or what I say? In other words, who are you going to believe? You're going to believe them or you're going to believe me? It's really up to you. He said over in the book of Ezekiel 37, he said unto him, son of man, can these bones live? There's a question out there in this area of the King James Version. But you go over to the Amplified Version, it just runs you straight through pretty much the same way with that, looking at the Amplified AMPC. He said, son of man, can these bones live? And he answered, oh Lord God, you know. Now, the Lord God tells me he's the creator, designer, engineer of everything on earth. He says, how any looks low. And there's nothing that he don't know. In the book of Jeremiah 29:11, the future is already set because God is already predestined for you to be able to do the work he calls you to do. Now, you may know it all. You may not know it all in advance at one time, but God has prescripted your life to where he wanted to be. And then the gift of the Holy Spirit is only implanted in you by him and not by man. God will put a character in your life to help the character, help him and help you with your character. But I don't care what's living and walking. He can't give you no... It can't give you no gift. And you can claim it if you want. It's up to you. If you want to roll that way and think that that is it, then that's up to you. You want somebody to put some agrees you down and say this, okay, you believe that, then that's what you believe. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible tells me this thing has got to be able to get down on your knees, and you can't see clearly until you get down on your knees. Ezekiel asked a question that he really ought to do that God was able to do because he's a man of faith. This prophet knew. He said, Lord, you know. And again, he said it to me. He said, look, your words is in your mouth. See, the Bible said life and death is in the power of the tongue. The Bible declared according to the first verse, he said, look, prophesy upon this dead situation, upon these bones, and send them, old bones, hear the word of the Lord. Look at me.
The Bible said we was created out of the dust of earth on a word from God. He spoke us into existence. And then while we was yet laying there, he blew the Holy Spirit into us, and now we became a living soul. Ezekiel made a strong question. He said in the fifth verse, he said, Lord God, these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter in you, and you shall live. The only way a soul can live is that God has got something to do with it. Once the breath leaves you, that's it. You can cancel Christmas. It's over. But you got to make sure you got your life right. And if anybody going to bring it back into you, it may be the help for the physicians and the things they do with their doctors. Now, I ain't saying you don't overlook them. You know, they got stuff that they do, too, that can help you in your way in what you know. But you got to understand, when God doesn't work in your life, you got to give all credit and all honor to God. It's not a man that does it. Yeah, you got great positions and all that stuff. That's true. But see, their hands are skillfully moved through the power of God because God will make them. Not only did he make them, he gave them the brain. He gave them the mind in their brain to think, to do the things they do. There's no such ability about the anatomy which he created. So he does work with doctors. But all the blessings and the authority and the honor goes on to God. Let me look at this again. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. When a situation is going in your life, and you know God is the head chief and commander over your life, the author in a superiority of your life, ruler of your life. In fact, that old song, Ghostbusters, who are you going to call? And Ray Parker Jr. Yeah, I remember all that too. So God let you know, if you think back to that day what you were doing, and you look at your life now, you ought to be jumping up and get God hustling up on both sides. Praise not. Because when Ray Parker Jr. was doing this thing, you know you wasn't in the right place doing the right thing. But if you take it what Ray Parker Jr. said back then, you flip it, you say, who are you going to call? When situations seem impossible in your life, you're not going to call no ghostbusters. You're going to call the one who created you, the one who designed and engineered you. You better walk above all circumstances and situations and put a word in your mouth, according to Romans 10 and what that was, 4:17. Calling and speaking and declaring things in your life that be not, though if they were. And again, he said, prophesy upon these bones in the fourth verse. And then he goes down to the fifth verse. He said, thus say God, thus say the Lord God of these bones. Look at the Lord God unto these bones. I'm speaking to dry bones. I'm speaking to a dry situation. You got to look at your situation sometimes that, you know, is anything too hard for God to do? And that's what you got to look at. A lot of people get taken away and teared out of it because they have the wrong kind of people in the background. They don't know how to get people to intercede for them and pray for them on behalf that the power of God can work in their life. And you got to recognize that this thing has got to be done through the Spirit. Now you don't get on dirty man, nobody else no credit on anything. A lot of us want the credit, but we're just a mere man who's down here on earth doing the work of the one who sent us to do the work. That means we not to think of ourselves as being more high than we often think. But all glory and honor go unto God. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray this morning. Father God, I thank you for your illumination, for your direction, for your power, for your grace. Even as you look upon my wife and my daughter, all of them, Father God, as they're out there in the distant land, Lord, they go through their very tasks today. Father God, look over and keep them safe from every hurt, harm, and danger. I declare, Father God, even over the household, Father God, your spirits are moving and circulating all in the attic, all in the basement area, all in the walls, waiting to beat down the enemy and try to come in any area, that we're all secure. And even as we go outside the house, Father God, we kill the rays of the power of the illumination of the glow of the Holy Ghost, that they may know when we walk into a present place, Father God, it was light. And they'll ask questions on what we must do, we say. Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you heal in the bodies of those who we actually called upon. Not just us, Father, but all those who are in a collaboration, all those who are in unity with us as we begin to pray for those who are going through. And that the body of Christ are come together and be as one. not separated by size, clique, club, denomination, and titles and numbers, but through the power of the Holy Ghost. Father God, we believe that every situation in our life has got the ability to live because you know your word. You declare, Father God, that there be no weapons formed against your people. The kingdom of God suffers violence. The violence is taken by the authority and how we continue to connect with you in the midst of what we're going through. Father God, we thank you. We bless you. On these days, you're going to the hospital, Father God. All those who are going through transformations in their life, Father God, heal them, touch them, Father God. Whatever part of the body that you designed, Father God, whatever part of the anatomy that's going through a distant or somewhat of a troubling time, Lord, loose the hands of the healing angels. They're going to touch them, Father God. Give them a glorious day. Lord, let them live in the name of Jesus. Let them know that you're God, and beside you, there is no other. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that there should be no weapon formed against them, Father. No shape, form, or fashion whatsoever. In the school system, Father God, lock the jaws of all the instructors, Father God, that you did the men of God up there in the book of Acts, and that they may speak the words out of their mouth concerning you, Father God, that they may stand firm in their belief and declare that through you, Father God, that everything and all things has already made possible according to the kingdom of God. I know you're evil, Father God, because you said in your word. I thank you, Father God, for just healing those who are already calling on your name, according to Psalm 46, that you are very present help in a very present time of need. Lord, touch the White House. All that stuff that's going on up there, Lord, line it up according to the Spirit. That even as a nation, Father God, we go through, we see all these things that take place. Father God, continue to keep our eyes on you, that we may know and understand, Father God, we don't have to look to the left or look to the right, but depend on you in every situation we go through. And everything that we hear about, Father God, not satisfied to our ears or yours, Father God, we ask you to line it up and rule over it in the name of Jesus, that we may know that we serve a sufficient and omnipresent and powerful God, who's able to do anything and all things in the season, whatever it may be. And Father God, even as you begin to raise this particular ministry up, raise up all the other ministries as they go forth with the illumination of the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. That we may all know and understand in the season that we're in, Father God, every more than we ever see in our entire life. I decree the word, I declare it, even all my friends, all my family members, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you'll send forth your angels, Lord, your ministry angels, to touch them, Father God, and whatever in their life that they may need, Father God, physical and non-physical. Father God, I'm asking you to touch every marriage, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they may know and understand and believe the covenant which they're in is only honored and designed by you, Father God. Touch every one of them, Father God, that they have come to a mindset, they understand and believe, they are trusting you through all categories and whatever the problem may be. Father God, let your word begin to rule and reign all over this world, Father God, even in the distant countries, Father God. Touch them over in our different foreign area countries, Father God. Look over them, Lord. Keep them strong. Keep them pushing the kingdom in such a way, Father God, that the whole world will come to illumination. That we all one day will walk together. There'll be no separation, no denomination, no nothing. But we all be as one, which is in Christ Jesus. I decree right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, this will be a Syrophoenician anointing. That we may see the situation that we're in, Father God, you're more able to bring us out, despite of what we see with our own eyes and hear with our own ears. Father God, you are the omnipresent God. You are the omnipotent God, the one who does all things according to the purpose of your Father. And we thank you, Father God, for the blood you shed on the cross in the midst of every one of our sins. And in the midst of all that, Father God, we may know and understand and realize that you are a superior God, designed to do all things according to your will, your purpose, your power. Father, these things we speak not of ourselves, but of the power of the Most High God. We declare, we decree, we speak to you, thank you for this time, in the name of Jesus, as we go forth. Father, let it be known to you, Father God, that all is well. Father God, we thank you, we bless you. In your precious and powerful mighty name, we pray, Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm.